Hi, thank you. This is Hi, this is Manna Teacher Ministry. Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teacher Ministries. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us again tonight. We have a very interesting subject tonight, and it's entitled, It Is Finished. Amen. And I had heard someone say that last week, and I was just like, you know what? I hadn't dealt with that. It is finished. What does that really mean? And it always intrigues me to study on something new that I haven't studied on in a while. So we're going to talk about it is finished and what did Jesus mean when he was in the book of St. John, chapter 19, verse 30, when he said it is finished. So if you turn with your Bibles to me, and we're going to ask the Lord to open up the blessing, to bless the ministry tonight, to open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we give you glory and we give you praise, God. I acknowledge you tonight, Lord. You said acknowledge you in all of our ways and you will direct our paths. God, and I'm giving you glory and I'm giving you praise, Father. And I'm asking you, Lord God, to add a blessing to your word tonight, God, that it will minister to the seed, to the sower, God, that it will minister, Lord God, to the ones who are listening, that you have ordained to be blessed by this ministry, Father, that the word will fall on good ground, Father, and that it will bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. God, that this word will be a blessing to your kingdom and to your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. If you would turn with me to John chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 28. And the Bible says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Praise God. So here we see this is when Jesus died. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible says that he said it is finished. Praise the Lord. Now going back to my notes, amen, I just want to read a little bit. The Bible said, God had told me when I was in my study, the Bible says that when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What was Jesus talking about when he said it is finished? Well, let's look back in the book of Genesis where it all started. When God told Adam, In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. In order to know what he means when he says it is finished, we have to know what is meant by it is finished. You have to know what the beginning means. Amen. So let's look at that. If you turn with me over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, praise the Lord. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, we're going to start at the beginning of that paragraph, which is in verse 15. And the Bible says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, this is before sin ever entered the world. Now, I want you to know the difference between chapter 2 in Genesis and chapter 3 in Genesis. In chapter 2, that was before sin. That was when Adam was in the garden. That was when everything was perfect. Adam named the animals in chapter 2. Everything good happened in chapter 2. Amen. And the Bible talks about how the rivers flowed eastward into the garden. And I mean, everything was just perfect. This was paradise. Amen. And the Bible says, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So God gave us all things. Amen. The enemy wanted him to focus on one thing that God told him not to do. But I want you to know, if you focus on this verse, you'll see that God told Adam in verse 16, he said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So he told him that he could have as much as he wanted. Amen. There was no limit, no limitations on what he could eat, how much he could eat, or what kind of food he could eat. He could eat out of any tree in the garden. Verse 17, but he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So it was just one stipulation God had put down. And I think this was because God wanted to see if we would obey him. But God did not want us to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I don't know exactly why, because God never shared that knowledge with us as to why he told us not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But suffice it to say, it should be sufficient enough to say that he did tell us not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it, he said, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Verse 18 is when he made Eve. So let's go back, amen, to my notes. When God told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die, that's when death came into the world when Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall die. God created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to see if we would obey him when we were tempted to disobey. The first sin, and this is a question that I posted tonight on my Facebook. What is the first sin? What was the original sin? The first sin, as all sin, was the sin of disobedience, doing what God said don't do. You can do commission. You can have a sin of commission, which is committing a sin. That's where we get the word commit from. Or you can get the sin of omission, which is doing something that God told you not to do. Amen. So the Bible says every time God says don't do something and we do it, that's sin. The Bible said to him that knoweth to do the good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So this is one definition of sin that the Bible gives us. If you know to do the right thing and you don't do it, to you it is sin. Now, that lets somebody else may be able to do the same thing, and they may not know any better. They may not have what people say common sense not to know better. God judges the heart. God knows if that person knew better or if you knew better. So we can't look at actually what a person does, because some things are just sin, general sin. But some things are just like sin for me that may not be sin for you. And we're going to get more into that, the different degrees of sin, the different types of sin. But sin, basically, if you want to know a definition of sin is disobedience. Amen. I know a lot of people are going to question me and say, well, how come it could be sin to me and not sin to you? I'm not talking about general sins that the Bible says definitely, you definitely cannot do, like the Ten Commandments, fornication and all of that. That is sin for everybody. But I'm talking about more specifically things that offend. When you start talking about offenses, the Bible says something offend your brother. Paul said in the New Testament, don't do it. If meat offend your brother, don't eat it. Those are the type of sins I'm talking about, things that cause offense in the body. Amen. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about offenses. Amen. But sin is definitely a no-no. But the Bible says that the first sin, as all sin, is the sin of disobedience. God said don't and we do, or God says do and we don't. Disobedience is the basis of all sin. So when Jesus said it is finished, he was dealing with a penalty for sin, or stated a different way, the penalty for our disobedience is finished or paid. So the disobedience that we had come under the curse, the Bible says there's a curse that comes upon us when we disobey God. Amen. So the curse, the penalty, or the payment for sin is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So there was a penalty for sin that had to be paid. And it had to be a blood sacrifice. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. But he was saying, when he said it is finished, he was saying in effect that the debt had been paid or canceled out. So our debt has been paid when Jesus died on the cross. That's what he was saying. These same words are used again in James 1 and 15. The Bible says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So those same words are used again in James 1 and 15, talking about sin. The Bible says, first you lust after something. The devil will make you cause to lust after something. The Bible says there is three things in the earth, the lust of the flesh, all that is in the world. This is in John also. It says, three things that's in the earth, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, amen, and the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And the Bible says these are the three things that's in the world. So here we see lust is what happens before sin. The Bible says when lusts have conceived, it's just like a woman conceiving a baby. When lusts have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So the end result of lust is going to be sin. And the Bible says, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's why God told Adam, in the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Because sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Here we see that Adam and Eve lusted first. They lusted after the tree, and we're going to talk about that in chapter 3. And then they sinned. The sin manifested itself in death. Now, death is a separation from God. That's another point I want to make. Death is a separation. It doesn't mean that you cease to exist. It doesn't mean that you can't, that you don't exist anymore. You don't stop existing at the point of death. Like a lot of people want you to think, oh, there's nothing after death. No. Your soul, we talked about this last lesson, your soul is a gift from God. God breathed into Adam, the Bible says, and Adam became a living soul. So because God is eternal, his breath is eternal, because he breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul, that word living means eternal. So Adam became an eternal being. When God breathed into him the breath of life, he became an eternal being in his soul. Your soul is eternal. Amen. That doesn't die. You can have spiritual death, which is separation from God. And that's what God meant when he told Adam, the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that same day you shall die. We know he did not cease to die physically that day, because he was still walking around having children, you know, being married and bearing children, and lived to be almost 900 years old. But in the day that he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and disobeyed God, he died spiritually. And that's what we're going to talk about. So the sin manifested itself in death, or separation from God, spiritually forever. So let's look at another scripture. The scripture I just quoted to you is in 1 John 2:16. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's the scripture I want you to remember. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And compare that back to Genesis chapter 3 with the first sin act. Now remember, Genesis chapter 2 ends with no sin in the world. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. If you go to Genesis 3:1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Excuse me while I get a drink of water. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, or yes, have God said, or have God not said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. See how he twisted it there. I'm going to talk about this in a minute when we finish. I just want to read it first. He said, yea, have God said in verse 1, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, when God told Adam not to eat from the tree, he may have told him not to touch it. But this is the first time that that's quoted, because I didn't see where he said that in chapter 2. So I don't know if Eve was adding to the word or not here. But I do know that she did say that God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. But God doeth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7, this is Genesis chapter 3. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, Who told you that you were naked? Number one, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And then Adam blamed Eve. He said, The woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, She blamed the serpent. The serpent beguiled me or tricked me, and I did eat. Which she was not lying. He did beguile her because he was the most subtle beast of the field. We're going to talk about that because the same thing is going on today. Sin does not change. People change. Generations change. But sin does not change. The devil does not change his game plan. It worked with Adam and Eve in the garden. It's still working today with men and women. Beguiling. He still beguiles innocent souls. He still tricks people. He still uses deception. He still uses strategies. The Bible says we are not to be ignorant of his devices. The Bible says the wiles of the devil, amen. The Bible says that when he comes against you with fiery darts, that you the sword of the Spirit, the word of God is going to pierce, amen. It's going to put up a shield, amen, the shield of faith, amen. It's going to fight off the fiery darts of the wicked one. And all of that comes into play because we're in a battle, and we're going to see how this battle began in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says, The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Verse 14, And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. There go the curse. Remember I told you that there's a curse put on mankind because of sin. The Bible says in Genesis 3 and 14, The Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now that was the curse on the serpent, because he let the devil use the serpent. Amen. Now in verse 15, God told Adam and Eve, he told the devil, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now here he switched over to talking to Satan, because he went from talking to the serpent, crawling on his belly all the days of his life and eating dust, to talking to Satan in the spiritual realm. It's a very thin line between the spiritual realm and the natural realm, especially when the devil starts doing things. Amen. But God told the devil, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Talking about the seed of the devil and the seed of the woman. It shall bruise thy head. Talking about Satan. And thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, we know he was not talking to the serpent right there because it said, It shall bruise thy head. He was talking spiritually to the devil. Amen. It shall bruise thy head. Talking about how the devil was going to use death to try to conquer man and put fear into man and make man disobey God through death, through the spirit of through death in mankind. But it was a fear that came on man because of death. The Bible says, It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Talking about the seed of the devil and the seed of the woman, which was going to be Jesus Christ. Thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's why women, the Bible says, submit unto your husbands, because the man is the head of the woman. The Bible says the man is the head of the woman. A lot of people don't understand that. When it says he's the head, that doesn't mean he's to mistreat us. That doesn't mean he's to lord it over us. That means that he has a responsibility of being the head. There's a great responsibility that goes with being the head. You have more responsibility as being a head. But the Bible said, Thy desire shall be to thy husband. So there is an innate desire in every woman to please her man. And unless that desire is killed or destroyed through sin, through being hurt, through being abused, when that desire gets abused, then women can turn it off. But naturally, it's a desire inside a woman to please her man as long as that desire has not been tampered with. But the Bible says he shall rule over thee. Verse 17, and this is Adam's curse. He said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. No more shall it be paradise. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. So there was no thorns, no thistles before. He shall, but thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. So now, if a man doesn't eat, the Bible says, doesn't work, he does not eat. In verse 19, the Bible says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. That means work hard till you sweat. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, to the day that you die. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That was the curse, and that was the death that came on mankind. And the Bible says in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife, in verse 21, did the Lord God, and this is very important because I'm going to talk about this too tonight, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Amen. So the Bible says in verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Talking about God. So the devil did tell the truth when he said, God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, that you shall become as God, knowing good and evil. That part was true, but he always messes in a lie with the truth. That's what you call deception, and that's how he always tricks people. But the Bible says that God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, so he's no longer innocent anymore. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take. So there was a responsibility that came with this knowledge I see here. Because Adam had put forth his hand to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he was responsible now for that knowledge. And the Bible says, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And I just know that God meant he did not want us to live forever in a sinful state, forever dying and never able to die. That's a hell, amen, that I wouldn't wish on anybody, to always be sick, to knowing that you're going to go through eternity sick, amen, knowing that you're going to have cancer throughout eternity, knowing that, amen, the knowledge of good and evil, knowing that whatever diseases is on your body when you're here now, before you go over into eternity, you go into eternity with that same body. God did not want us to suffer eternally. So he said, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, talking about eternal life, and live forever in that sinful state he was talking about. He did not want us to live forever in that sinful state. Therefore, the Lord God sent forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground. God sent Adam forth from the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now let's talk about this in Genesis chapter 3. Sin enters the world in Genesis chapter 3. I just want you to remember that. Sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3. We start with verse 1, where the Bible says the serpent, that was Satan. Let's go back up to verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, have God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The serpent was more subtle. That means he was more treacherous. He was more deceptive. He was more cunning. That's another word, cunning. He was able to use, Satan was able to use the serpent to speak to Eve, because he was a beautiful creature. He was also deceptive. Amen. That is why Satan chose to speak through the serpent to challenge the word of God. Satan has always challenged the word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus is the word made flesh. He's always challenged the word. He always challenged Jesus. Amen. The Bible says he challenged the word of God. The first thing Satan did was challenge the word. He said, yes, have God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden in verse 1. Verse 1 shows that Satan is the father of lies. Jesus said that he was the father of lies because he spoke. He was the first one to tell a lie. Satan is the father of lies. That's what father means, or ancient of days mean, or ark means beginning. That means that he was the first one to tell a lie. Satan is the father of lies because he spoke the first lie. God said that they could eat from every tree except one, and he twisted the word. The same thing he's doing today to deceive men and women. He's twisting the word of God around to just the opposite of what God said. That God said you can eat from every tree of the garden. Satan said, have God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he twisted the word of God. That was the first thing he did. He twisted the word around just to do the opposite of what God said. Verse 4, the second thing he did was just flat out lie. The first thing was deception. The second thing was just an all-out lie. He called God a liar in verse 4 because he said in verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. This was just an out-and-out lie. Satan just lied when he said, ye shall not surely die. God told them, the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. Satan just came out flat and said, you are not going to die. Amen. And then look what he said. He called God a liar. And if Adam and Eve knew anything at all about God, they would have gotten mad at him for calling God a liar. Because right now today, if knowing what we know about the word, but we have to know the word in order to feel like this. You get mad when the devil calls God, if the devil comes right out and just call God a liar or come against the word, a true child of God is going to get mad about that. But Adam and Eve, I don't know about Adam, but Eve did not get mad about it. Amen. She continued to listen to this lie that the devil was telling. And the Bible says because sin shall increase in the last days, that God is going to turn us over, God is going to turn some people over to a reprobate mind. And he said because they loved a lie rather than the truth, he's going to allow them to believe a lie. Amen. There was a scripture in the Old Testament where the prophets wanted to know how they could trick the people of God or trick the leaders of God. And the angels came together, the fallen angels came together, and they were discussing how they were going to deceive this king and Israel. And the one of them said, I shall be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And he said, go. That's what's going to do it. You shall succeed. A lying spirit in the mouth of a prophet. I'm telling you, saints, Satan has always tried to turn the word of God around, twist the word of God, lied on God, challenged the word. He's always done that. Now, the next thing that Satan said was that God did not care about what was best for Adam and Eve, that he was holding something back from them that was beneficial to them. He said, for God does know that when you eat from this tree, your eyes shall be opened. Which that was the truth. Their eyes were going to be open. That was the truth. But he said, and you shall be as God, which is translated false gods, little g, God, not big G. If you look in the Bible, it always has little g for anything other than the true God. That you shall be as God, which is translated false gods or fallen angel gods, because the fallen angels are what people worship now as little g gods. People don't know that. When you're worshiping all these images and when you're worshiping anything other than the true God that created heaven and earth, which Abraham knew him as the creator God, the one, he only worshiped one God. But many people worship more than one God. They say, you know, whatever you want to worship, however you want to get to God, you can come to God. Jesus said, I am the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But these little g gods, he said, your eyes shall be open and you shall be as God, little gods, translated false gods or fallen angel gods, knowing good and evil. So Satan has been using his demonic spirits to deceive people from the beginning of time to worship him. And I just want you to see that here. He said, you shall be as God. which is translated false gods, knowing good and evil. So he even told them then that they were going to be as God, a little g, which is a false god. He challenged them to be as God, to go against what God has said, and to go against the God that created them and loved them so much. He's doing the same thing today. He's challenging us. We are made in the image of God. Hallelujah. I felt that. We are made in the image of God. We are a triune being, just as God is triune. We are spirit, flesh, and soul. We are a triune being. There are three parts to us, mind, body, and spirit. And the same way we are made in the image of God as a triune person, God is a trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Just like you can't separate the mind, the body, and the spirit until, except at the point of death, you cannot separate the triune God, the Trinity God, because we are made in the image of God. But he challenged them to be as God, to go against what God has said, and to go against the God that created them. And people are still doing that today. They're still going against the God that created them, to know him. Amen. The Bible says this is life eternal in John 17:3, to know thee and the only person, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal. Amen. So they should have said, if God is withholding something from me, it must be something that I don't need or that will cause me harm. That's the key to trusting God. When you trust God, you say, for God I live and for God I die. If it's something I ask you for, God, and you don't give it to me, I must not need it. I trust you to know what's best for me. Even Adam did not do that. That led to disobedience. That led to them being rejected by God. That led to them being kicked out of paradise. They should have said, if God is withholding something from me, to the devil, when he said that, God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to be as God, knowing good and evil. They should have said, if God is withholding something from me, it must be something I don't need or will cause me harm. So I trust his judgment, and I trust that he knows what's best for me. But no, they did not say that. They said that they would obey the devil rather than God. The Bible says, whom you yield your members to obey, that's whose servant you are. So they became the servants of the devil on that day when they obeyed the devil. They should have said, I will obey God rather than you, Satan. But they didn't say that. They did just the opposite. They said, I choose to believe a lie over the word of God. And that's what's causing people to go to hell right now today, because they're choosing to believe a lie over the word of God. Hallelujah. He's still challenging the word. He's still telling people that the word is not true, that God didn't say this. God doesn't care about what's best for you. And he's still tricking people and deceiving people and kind of using strategies to con people into hell. The Bible says that they chose to believe a lie over the word. They chose to believe that God did not know what was best for them and that they could take care of themselves apart from God's judgment. This is the same thing that's going on today when man is presented with the gospel and rejects it. A lot of people say, I think I know what's best for me. I don't need God. I don't need God to think for me. I know what's best. I make my own choices in life. And yes, you do have a choice. You have a choice in life. But I'm telling you, you need to choose Jesus tonight. Amen. Because he loves you and he has an eternity that's planned for you to spend with him. If you don't spend eternity with Jesus, you're going to spend eternity with the devil in hell. There's no two ways about it. Amen. This is the same thing that's going on today when man is presented with the gospel and rejects it. Man is saying, I know what's best for me better than God, my Heavenly Father, does. I choose my will over the will of my Heavenly Father. That's why Jesus said in the garden when he was praying in Gethsemane, he said, should I pray, take this cup away from me? He said, but this is the reason why I came into the world. I was born for this moment, this hour. I came into the world for this hour. Amen. And what did he say at the end? He said, nevertheless. First he said, take this cup from me, because he didn't want to die. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Because he had to submit to the will of God. And I'm telling you, we have to do the same thing. We have to submit to the will of God, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much we don't understand, no matter how much we think, oh, this is just unbearable, I can't deal with this. We still have to submit to the will of God. We have to say like Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. If Adam and Eve had said that in the garden, we would have never sinned. Mankind would have never sinned. Jesus would have never had to die on the cross. Amen. So let's continue on. Now, you know, my notes just messed up. So I'm trying to get it back right. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go back up. I was in verse 4. Okay, so we talked about that. Let's go down to Genesis verse 6, 3 and 6. The Bible says, when a woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she said, let me keep up with my time. Okay, we're doing pretty good. When she saw that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise and pleasant to the eyes, once she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Okay, let's talk about verse 6. The Bible says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the tree was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. Now, this is not 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. All over again, the Bible says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Now, which one of those matched the lust of the flesh? The lust of the flesh that was good for food. The lust of the eyes, that was the second one, pleasant to the eyes. And the pride of life, that was the tree was desirable to make one wise. So that was the pride of life. I'm telling you, that is, God's word doesn't change. It continues to back up itself. The word of God is always going to back up itself. So if you take 1 John 2 and 16 with Genesis 3 and 6, you'll see that those go hand in hand together. And, I mean, they just like lock in like a glove. But she took up the fruit of it and gave it unto her husband, and they both ate. This was the first act of disobedience. They both ate. Verse 7. The results of that sin, the eyes of them both were opened. Let's read verse 7. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The results of that sin was that their eyes were both opened. So that was the truth part. They saw that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. Now, why did they have to have aprons now when they saw that they were naked? Because their eyes were open now. They had the knowledge of good and evil, and they were ashamed of their nakedness. If they were not ashamed of their nakedness, they would not have tried to cover it up with fig leaves. So there came a shame that comes with sin and with the nakedness. But they were innocent at first. They were naked, and they were not ashamed. But now, because of sin, their shame came on them, and they sold fig leaves. That was verse 7. So that shows us in verse 7 that when you are totally innocent before God as a newborn baby, you are naked. But because of sin, we have to cover our nakedness. They covered their knowledge of sin, knowledge of good and evil, with fig leaves. No blood sacrifice. I want you to notice that. The fig leaves were not a blood sacrifice. That's very important. I want you to see that. And man always, apart from the blood, the man will always try to cover our sin or right or wrong or think that we can do it on our own without the sacrifice of the blood, which is Jesus. There is no blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So that means, without a blood sacrifice, God will not forgive your sin. They covered their self with fig leaves. They tried to cover their knowledge of sin and the knowledge of good and evil and the shame that it brought. They tried to cover it with something that did not involve blood sacrifice. They were covered, but they were not covered correctly for what was necessary in the eyes of God to cover sin. This was obvious because in verse 8, the very next verse, even though they were covered in fig leaves, they still hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let's look in verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So if that was sufficient, if the fig leaves were sufficient to cover them, why would they have hid themselves from the presence of God? Because it wasn't enough. verse 9, it wasn't enough to come into the presence of God. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And that's when God said, who told you that you was naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? Adam said, I was afraid. God said, who told you that you was naked? He said, I was afraid because I was naked. God said, who told you that you were naked? And the next thing God knew, he already knew the answer to the question. He just wanted to bring it to his attention. He said, have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? So in Genesis 2 and 25, the Bible says they were both naked. They were not ashamed. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible said, after Satan tempted Adam and Eve, they were naked and ashamed, which means they covered their nakedness and they hid from the presence of God. So let's go on down my notes. The next thing I want to say is the only difference is that they covered their nakedness with man's covering for sin and shame. A bloodless covering was not acceptable. God killed an animal and gave them coats of skin in verse 21, Genesis 3 and 21. Not because it was cold, because they were in paradise. They weren't cold. He killed an animal and gave them coats of skin. He provided the first sacrifice. He taught them how to approach unto him. He taught them how to cover their sins. He taught them, he told them what was necessary and the reason why they had to approach him with the blood sacrifice. Because he knew that he was going to send his son Jesus to die for the sins of the world in due time. The Bible says in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And God knew that Jesus was going to come. But through the aeons of time, God had to wait until the time was right for Jesus to come. Until the time was right for Jesus to come, for God to send his son. The Bible says in Genesis 3 and 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, hallelujah, but should have everlasting life. This is a way for us to get back to God through Jesus. God killed an animal and gave them coats of skin in Genesis 3 and 21, not because it was cold, because their sin required a blood sacrifice to cover sin and shame. The same thing with their recorded children, Cain and Abel. Cain, in chapter 4 of Genesis, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. No blood was involved. That this blood sacrifice pointed to Jesus. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought an offering of the flock. So that means that he killed an animal, which represented blood. And I do know that Adam and Eve had to tell Cain and Abel how to approach unto God. And they had to tell Adam, they had to tell Cain and Abel about how life was before they sinned. And I believe they told Cain and Abel the whole story. But you know what? Cain still chose to come without a blood sacrifice. Abel, and on the other hand, he was more obedient. He brought an offering of the flock, which required a blood sacrifice. This was symbolic of the blood of Christ to be slain for the sins of all mankind. So what did God mean by the man has become one of us to know good and evil? The key word here is one of us. Also, the half-truth. We're still in Genesis chapter 3, where God said the man has become as one of us, as their eyes were open. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to leave Cain and Abel. I'm going to get back to that in just a moment, but I got to finish Genesis chapter 3. We're in verse 10. Well, we're back up in verse 6, where he said the man has become as one of us, and their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. This is a half-truth that Satan told them, your eyes is going to be open in Genesis 3 and 5. To know the difference between good and evil, this word yada means to understand. He has become as one of us. That means to understand, to observe, to know something by the senses or mind, to know or have knowledge of. So this word, he has become as one of us. This is what he meant by that. Let's look at the scriptures that deal with knowledge. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's another scripture that deals with the knowledge of sin. The Bible says that if you know, he that knoweth shall be beat with many stripes. Amen. And he that doesn't know shall be beat with few stripes. The devil said, we know who you are. You are the Christ. Remember in the New Testament, the devil told Jesus, he said, we know who you are. You are the Christ, the Holy One, the Son of God. So he had knowledge of the Son of God. Let's look at the references to the Son of God in Genesis 6, I want to read Genesis 4 because we were just talking about Cain and Abel before we go to Genesis 6. And we're going to begin to wrap up tonight because I'm going to finish this on Sunday. But I don't want to keep you too much longer. But let's look at Genesis 4 because this is interesting to me when we were talking about Cain and Abel. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, 'I've gotten a man from the Lord.' And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth or angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, 'Why art thou angry, or why are you wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?' So he knew that he should have brought a blood sacrifice, but he didn't do it. God said in verse 7, 'If you do well, you shall be accepted. But if you do not well, or you don't bring a blood sacrifice, sin lieth at the door.'" This is what he was talking about. Sin was lying at the door waiting for Cain. "And unto thee shall be his desire," talking about sin, "and thou shalt rule over him." So talking about the only way you can conquer sin, the only way you can beat sin is to come with a blood sacrifice. He said, if you do well, then you're going to be accepted. And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door. "And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Sin is either going to rule over you or you're going to rule over sin. In other words, if you do well and you get under the blood sacrifice, you can rule over sin. You can beat sin. You can conquer sin. Amen. That's what God was telling Cain. You can have the victory over sin if you come the right way and approach unto me with the blood. He said, but if you don't approach me with the blood, he said, sin is laugh at the door. Your desire going to be to him. Just like the woman desire to please the man, we're going to always desire be held bondage to sin, be held captive to sin. He said, and sin is going to rule over you. That was God giving Cain a little bit more insight into sin. And the Bible says in verse 8, Cain should have repented at that, but look what he did in verse 8. Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. That was the first murder that was ever recorded in the Bible, was Cain and Abel. But look what happened in verse 9. It all happened because of the blood. Hallelujah, because Cain did not want to change his ways. Cain did not want to approach unto God in the right way. The Bible says that people are going to want to do evil. They're going to run from the light because their deeds are evil. This is what Cain was doing. Amen. He did not want to change his ways. Look at verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Cain, 'Where is Abel thy brother?' And he said, 'I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?'" Yes, as a child of God, we are supposed to watch out for our brother. But he was not watching out for his brother. He killed his brother. And God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which have opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." God put a curse on him. He said, "When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength." Now remember, he was a tiller of the ground. So this was, he hit him where it really hurt it at. He said, "The ground is not, when you till the ground from now on, it's not going to yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond, you're going to be poor. You're going to be homeless. You're not going to have any good success in life." He said, "Shall you be in the earth?" And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me or kill me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. So God was gracious to Cain. He saved his life. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Okay, so we're going to stop right there. But I just want you to see where Cain and Abel, that we're still talking about the blood sacrifice. Amen. So let's go back over to Genesis chapter 6, where it talks about the sons of God. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, it came to pass, and I'm going to read this and I'm going to stop and save the rest for Sunday night. I just want to read it. I want you to study on for Sunday night on the sons of God. I want you to run reference on the word sons of God. I want you to be prepared because this is a very interesting Bible study. We're going to share some revelation knowledge about the sons of God, and I want you to be prepared. I want you to be able to see what I'm saying. You're going to see it anyway, but I think if you run reference on the sons of God and be prepared Sunday night, that you'll get more out of it. Amen. But anyway, in Genesis chapter 6, it says, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair or beautiful, and they took them wives of all that they chose. The sons of God, just to let you know a little bit about what we're going to be talking about Sunday night. The sons of God here is the fallen angels. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God, there go again with the sons of God, came in unto the daughters of men in verse 4, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And then he starts talking about Noah. So we're going to run reference on the sons of God, and the Bible says they came into the daughters of men. And I'm going to stop right there. We've been talking for almost an hour, so I praise God that I think we did pretty good on our time tonight, saints. I just thank God for you listening in to Man of Teacher Ministry. I'm going to sign off. I just wanted to say thank you again for listening in. I love you with the love of the Lord. Be blessed. You can call me at 770-728-2274. That's 770-728-2274. And leave me a message. If I don't answer, I'll get back with you. Or you can email me at manna_travel@yahoo.com. That's manna_travel@yahoo.com. Any questions that you have, any subject that you want to teach on, let me know. Any speaking engagements, let me know, and I'll pray about it. God bless you, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Good night.